All right. I can't see the little red dot, but I'll trust you that we're recording. Okay, I'm going to call to order the Gilborn Public Library Board of Trustees meeting for January 12th, 2021. It is a virtual meeting. The time is 7:05, and we apologize for that. If any of you have been waiting, it was entirely my fault that we are late. I'm sorry. Do I not have to read this part about that we're meeting by video?
You do not have to read it.
Okay, but we do have to take a roll call right away.
Yes, we do.
To make sure we know who's here. So if you want to do that, I'm ready.
Garcia?
Here.
Gross? Harkin?
Here.
Henderson?
Here.
Kokoris?
Here. Here.
Kruger?
Here.
Bednar?
Here. Alrighty, so first thing we have is public comment. You know, oh gosh, how am I going to do this? I did get an email yesterday, I believe, from someone, so I think I have to read that. If that's okay, I'll go first with that.
Sure.
Okay, let me find it here. Sorry, give me a second. Okay, it was sent to public comment, so I'm assuming they wanted this to be read publicly. It is from, it says, my name is Lorelei Marvel, so that's the name we'll use. I am a frequent library patron. I came to the library parking lot the afternoon of December 21st, as the library said the Wi-Fi would be broadcast into the parking lot during open hours. I wanted to use the library's Family Search affiliate library status to look at images of certificates available only at family history centers closed or affiliate libraries. I spoke by phone about 6 times with a very nice man in the computer area who offered suggestions. I walked right in front of the library and stood right outside the doors. I got the Wi-Fi very briefly. I spent about 30 minutes trying to access it. I then was in email contact with 2 librarians who responded to my comments. The library's solution was to stop advertising it being available in the parking lot. I am requesting the library board consider finding out what needs to be done so the Wi-Fi signal is strong and steady and can be accessed in the library parking lot. I know a librarian at the Schomburg Library who confirmed their IT personnel walked outside and around the parking lot to verify the strength of their library Wi-Fi and best areas to access it. We don't know how long this pandemic will last. It may be that the library can reopen again as before, but then again, it could also reopen and have to close again. Please do what needs to be done with the library Wi-Fi so the strength is strong and steady and patrons can access it from the library parking lot during open hours. Thank you for your consideration. So that is my email, and I will forward that to you, Nancy. Do we have anyone else for public comment?
I'm waiting. Nothing so far.
Brian, are you talking to us?
I'm looking. I see no hands raised yet, but there's a number on there that I recognize that I'm waiting for the hand to go up. There it is.
Okay,
caller, you need to unmute and then you have the floor.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good evening, ladies, and one gentleman in absentia of the Gilborn Public Library Board of Trustees. This is Randy Hopp. I am a candidate for Gilborn Public Library District Board Trustee in the upcoming 2021 consolidated election. I have one public comment to make. I noted on the agenda, item number 13, executive session, the personnel for the chief executive officer. I fully expect that is Carol Nuttall seeking yet another raise in her compensation package as she's received every year since she's been employed by the Gabrielle Public Library. She's already getting over $200,000 a year, which is absolutely obscene. And this last year, with a dramatic reduction in service, she should not only not get an additional raise or a bonus or both, but a dramatic reduction in her compensation package, not an increase. $200,000 and plus, and she's trying to get more yet, is obscene. That is all, and that is one of my campaign positions in the upcoming election. Thank you.
All right. Okay, anybody else wanting to speak before the board tonight? Should we move on then? Let's move on. Number three, minutes. Well, I shuffle my papers here for a second. Okay. I think we have two sets of minutes tonight. I will take a motion to approve the December 8th, 2020 Truth in Taxation minutes as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any comments on those minutes? Okay. Let's roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Krueger?
Yes.
Bednar?
All right, and next I will accept a motion to approve the December 8th, 2020 board meeting minutes as presented.
So move.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Any discussion or questions on the December 8th regular board meeting minutes? Okay.
Here.
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Krueger?
Yes.
Bednar?
All righty. Treasurer's report. Where is she? Madam Treasurer, down there. Hi.
Yes, I would like to make a motion to approve payment of the revised list of bills to be paid between the January 12th, 2021 and February 9th, 2021 board meetings, as well as those bills to be paid at the January 12th, 2021 board meeting in the amount of $308,010.19, including those bills over $10,000 each.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We have lots of motions and seconds there. Did you get that, Nancy?
Okay.
Okay. Any discussion, questions, concerns? John?
I just have an extremely quick question, and I'm not even positive this is part of the treasurer's report, but I was wondering, and if we have to take this offline, that's fine. What is on page 31 and 32, this pie chart with the Gail Borden investment holdings and all that? If there's a simple answer, otherwise I can talk to somebody later.
Well, I can tell you the investment holdings are our special reserve funds that we have invested. And for a little more detail, I don't know, Sarah Johnson, you're out there in Zoom land. Is there anything you would like to add about this?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's basically the summary of the special reserve investments, and it kind of gives you a breakdown of where the money is. The majority of it is invested in CDs that are approved for us to invest in. And then the second page basically just gives you a synopsis of the activity for the month.
Libraries are very restricted on how they can invest money. We have to follow the state statute. So very safe places to put our money. Yeah, and it is very restrictive.
Okay.
Also, that snapshot is kind of a new document, newer page in the report, which I think Sarah threw in there to give us a visual, which I've appreciated.
Yeah, I like the page. I just didn't.
Yeah, it's a new page. Well, it's kind of a rainy day fund.
Sure. Yeah. That's,
okay. Because you never can tell.
Sorry, I'll be right with you. I just lost my agenda. There it is. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite thing to look at on that chart is how much money we make. So, you know, okay. So I think we have a motion, right? And a second, and we have to vote, right? Correct. Any comments or questions? Okay.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Krueger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. Okay. Number five, correspondence.
A little bit of correspondence here. Actually, I have a lot of correspondence. We have a letter from Jesse White, Secretary of State and State Librarian. This was addressed to Sarah Sabo. I'm pleased to award the Gailborne Public Library District an FY 2021 grant for $2,000 in support of personal protective equipment. Thank you for your efforts to provide quality library services. Libraries remain the best and most reliable source. Citizens of Illinois have for information access and resource sharing while encouraging and supporting lifelong learning. Congratulations on the success of your grant application and best wishes for a successful project. And then Brian got one too. Dear Mr. Hoig, I'm pleased to award the Gailborne Public Library District an FY 2021 Digital Network Access Grant for $10,000 in support of wireless infrastructure upgrade and expansion. And the same, he repeats the same thing that was on the first grant letter. So congratulations to both. Sarah wrote one, Brian wrote the other. The wireless project will be coming before the board in February for your approval, of which $10,000 will be paid for by the state grant.
Excellent.
And we received, this was sent to me, but it mentions the board, so I wanted to read it. I just want to thank you very much for petitioning to the board to issue a 5% raise based on performance for all GVPL staff. This is very unexpected and appreciated. I'm also grateful to the board for letting us have the weekends of Christmas and New Year's off. These bits of news are a bright light after such a dark and stressful year. Thank you very much for caring for our community and caring for our staff so well. Cheers, Alicia Rambo, Kids Space Associate.
Our pleasure, Alicia.
Dear Carol and Library Board, I wish to express my sincere appreciation for the generous new salary you gave me this month. I come to work each day with a sense of excitement and determination to better serve our community through the Community Service and Program Development Department. Bringing the library and reading programs to those who might not have the chance to visit the library is exceedingly rewarding. The Gailborne Public Library has created so many connections for our communities and brought so much enjoyment, even though we currently must manage the impact of the pandemic. Our presence is vital to our community. Our books and information services are a virtual haven for those at home weathering this virus storm. Our help to homebound patrons connects with a friendly staff who are bringing books and warm help over the phone has helped all ages using your library home. The new CSPD Digital Mentor Program is providing knowledgeable digital mentors to support homework help to many homebound students. This generous giving of time and talents promotes a vibrant and supportive library for community revitalization. Thank you for serving in leadership and providing improvement for our library. Oversee programming, capacity, personnel, and budgeting, as well as enhanced learning to ensure access to information for all. in these final days of the year, and as we reflect on what has brought us gladness, I think of our library standing within our community through these difficult times and yet ready for the next year and beyond. That's what our library is about, not in just times of plenty, but adapting to the current conditions. Thank you, Carol and the library board, for recognizing me. I am deeply grateful for your support. Your generosity helps the staff and sustains the community until we can welcome everyone in the library once again. Thank you, Julia Langlois, who is works in CSPD. And that's it for correspondence.
Okay. Thank you, Carol, for sharing all of that with us. Okay, let's move on then to reports. Do we have a CEO report?
A CEO report, yes. Business has been robust during this recent closure. December can be a bit light month normally, but we saw over 4,600 cars, which is about 180 cars a day, come through the drive-up window at Main, which was topped only once before in June. RACO saw a 25% increase in drive-ups over November. There were 574 print jobs that were picked up at the windows, and over 1,000 craft kits were distributed through our drive-up windows. Many times you will look out there and you will see a line of cars. Staff are busy with checkouts, because now they do all the checkouts because, of course, the self-checks aren't being used. And we normally have about 90%, 85 to 90% of checkouts are through those self-check machines. But staff are doing that now. And also staff retrieving over 11,500 materials to fulfill holds. And that's all besides all the e-content, because, of course, these are all physical materials. We launched a new online library card. When we are open, customers can go to one of our computers and complete the registration process, then go to the registration desk and pick up their card. If this is done at home, the card can be used immediately for 90 days and before they need to come into the library to get a physical card. And if our buildings remain closed, we extend that. We will extend that that time. What this is continuing our quest to move to, as much as we can, to contactless, where we can, where we can, without diminishing our customer service. So, such as our self-check machine, and of course our mobile app, where the customer can also check out on a smartphone. So this is a wonderful addition here. And if you did not see it on Gale Mail, Brian, you want to launch that video? Prad just produced a video here, Public Relations and Development, and this is out, going out now to our public, and they also want to market this in U46.
Good book. I wish I had more books about dogs, like Lassie and Clifford. Hey, if I had a library card, I could check out some books.
Grover, wake up. You don't need to go to the library to get a library card. You can get one online from the Gale Borden Library website.
Let's see. Name, address, date of birth, email address. I'll use my email address. Easy. Oh, if you're under 18, your parent or guardian needs to sign.
It says you get the barcode or library card number emailed to you. Then you can use the number online to borrow ebooks, audiobooks, movies, and more stuff. You can use it for 90 days.
Movies? I love movies. Secret Life of Pets is my fave. It should have won an Oscar for Best Picture. You don't need superhero powers to get books, music, and movies. It's easy to get an online Gale Borden library card. Remember, it's good for 90 days and it's free. Just go to gbpl.info/getcard.
Did you say whose dog that was?
That is Elda's dog.
Elda's dog. That was Elda's voice in there, too. I think I recognized
Elda,
it.
Elda's the voice, yes.
That was awesome.
I want you to know that I signed Isaac up for his library card through that.
Thank you very much. They are also very amazing. They always support us, and we are very, very helpful and very...
talking. Okay.
Ryan, is that you?
No, that's not sure what that was. Continuing with my report, I'm happy to report that our security camera upgrade project that the board approved, I think in September, has been successfully completed. Our Black History Family Festival has been held in recent years on the first Saturday in February, but it is going virtual this year. PRAD is preparing Celebrating Black History Month virtual exhibit, which includes the Project 231, which is now set up in our rotunda, but there, you know, it's all set up, but even if nobody can see it in person, it's all going to be virtual. And in addition, there'll be video and audio and images and links to web pages of notable Black Americans, and that will all be included. The exhibit will open January 18th, which is on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Our staff news, we said goodbye to Mary Ann Nelson, our library associate in information services. She retired after 27 years of service. And we want to congratulate Flor Chavez, who was honored by the Elgin Hispanic Network with the Person of the Year Award. So congratulations to Flor. We received our new vehicle that the board approved, and we are going to be getting staff trained on it. And the reason I want staff trained on it, there's a lot of features to this car. And Danny Rice is a volunteer to take over that little project. So staff that drive it know what is available on this car and know if something is blinking or flashing, what that means, because the main thing is the safety features are very, very important. But there's a lot of technology to this vehicle, too. It is a Chrysler Pacifica. So that will be going into service very soon as staff get trained on it. And mainly, it will be a vehicle, it'll be a multi-purpose vehicle for servicing our public outreach services, but also being able to take a group of people to a meeting or conference. And it is replacing the, 18-year-old Windstar, which maintenance is going to take over and, I guess, drive it into the ground. So, and as Denise said, I guess I can say this in a public meeting. Denise said, just take off the decals. We don't want Gailborne Library identified with the Windstar anymore because it's rusting. You know, it doesn't look real good. Years and years ago, when I started here, we had the old red van, and it was filled with rust, and we just kept driving it. We were going to get every mile out of it, and one day our name appeared on it. I still to this day, we don't know who put that on there. And so it was like that for a while. And we said, we got to get the name off. We don't want to be identified with this rusty old man. Mm-hmm. Anyway, also, I just wanted to give a heads up to the board that this summer I have asked our Community Services and Program Development Division to plan a community read. I think we need something bringing our community together, and what better way to do it than everyone reading the same book. Like it's something light, fun to read, not heavy. You know, the last time when we did this, that was a big read through Institute of Museum and Library Services, and that was The Things We Carry, which was a pretty dramatic, emotional book. So mm-hmm. something that's light, you know, there needs to be some qualifiers. It needs to be in English and Spanish. We would like it to be an author who is still living so that we could have a presentation from that author. And now with so many online virtual presentations, this is a wonderful way to be able to have an author and not cost an arm and a leg, you know, because some of their fees can be quite high, but if it's virtual, it would be much less. So my thought was that the staff would come up with three to five titles, and then we would have the community vote on them. We put it out there and have the community vote. So stay tuned. That is coming down the pike. Of course, we'll have a lot of programming around that this summer, too. They are pushing it out now and have a committee working on this. And so I'm very excited about that. And that is my report.
All right, thanks. Under that same number six, we have COVID update. Do we have an update, or are we just going to discuss?
I can start out with some stuff here for the board to base their discussion on. If you had not heard, on January 8th, Governor Pritzker did issue an executive order extending the statewide Tier 3 mitigation through Saturday, February 6th. As of your last meeting, you had the library closed through this Thursday. But now we are in Region 8, and although recent information shows that we are meeting two out of the three criteria, we are still not able to be considered for Tier 2. I guess there's a couple regions in the state that are, and they might be going to Tier 2, maybe this Friday, but we certainly will not. What the board may want to consider and talk about here tonight is to keep the buildings closed. And my recommendation is to keep them closed until 7 days after the governor moves our Region 8 to Tier 2. We would reopen the library with the same restrictions in place prior to the closing on November 20th, which would include occupancy limits and time limits for a person to be in the building. In case you did not know, I'll just give you a little update on what's happening with U46. They are bringing students back this month. I guess there's, even with what, you know, even though our stats aren't down like they would like, my understanding is the children are not faring well, and not at all. And so they feel this is very critical to get them back in the classroom. So January 11th, students in pre-K through sixth grade, it would be hybrid, meaning 50% in class, 50% still virtual at home. January 19th, students in seventh through 10th grade, again, a hybrid plan of instruction. And January 25th, students in 11th and 12th grade with hybrid. So that is what I, you know, have for you. We are, you know, the staff is just cranking it out, you know, with all of the virtual programs. They just get better and better all the time. We're not hearing complaints from the public. In fact, there's more gratitude. Robert wrote it in his report. Someone drove through and to the drive-up window and said, "This is better than Burger King." So. And people who are getting the home delivery are thrilled for that, coming home and finding a bag of goodies and library materials for them to read. So we truly are offering quite a bit. The things that we are not, of course, are use of the computers and browsing in the library or a place just to go and spend some time. But other than that, staff are knocking themselves out to really provide top-notch services and you know, what we can under these limiting circumstances. So now the board can talk and see what you think is best to do.
Anybody have any thoughts that they want to share?
No, I just think it is a good idea to keep the library closed for a while. I mean, obviously, we hoped that we'd get to Tier 2 by now, but the numbers are not, all of our numbers are not where they need to be. As a parent of a school-aged child who is in U46, I'm actually keeping my child home for the remainder of the year. I opted out of the hybrid option, and you know, just because the we're still in the midst of this, so I think we'll be doing our part to continue to keep our staff safe. I think there's going to be a lot of commingling of different groups with this kids going back to this hybrid. And mm-hmm. and we have to be careful about that, because as soon as that happens, if we were to mm-hmm. open up, so you have the hybrid schools and then the kids would go to the library and then our staff is, you know, all kinds of things could happen. So in order to do some preventative work, I think it's a good idea to even take your recommendation of keeping us closed until after our governor moves us back into tier two. So I do take that recommendation.
I agree. I checked right before I tuned in, and Kane County has 44,569 confirmed cases as of today. And I was remembering that when we decided last summer to close, there were 6,000 cases, and we thought that was terrible. No, and it's really, that's such, well, I approve of that plan. It's really frightening.
I do like the idea of pegging it to the state's, like, tier designation. Also, for staff who need to, like, maybe plan alternate childcare or something like that, it's nice to not just be waiting until our next meeting to, like, find out what we think versus having a standardized metric we can use.
Yeah. Good point.
I also concur with what Tiffany said, and Patty, and John, good point. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I remember when we closed, somebody made the comment like it would be terrible to close and then open and then have to close again, and of course that's what ended up happening. I would love it if we don't have to do that again, and my guess is that we won't, just because the vaccine is now...
Mm-hmm.
Being distributed, and hopefully as more people get vaccinated and this disease makes its way through the population in the crazy way that it is, that, you know, we won't go backwards again. So I think that's a good plan. Of course, I have no idea what that means in terms of timing, though. I mean, could that possibly be like next week or in 2 months, or do we have any idea?
I don't know. I'm guessing. I mean, I think the earliest, I mean, if everything just really got great here, would be going to tier two the end of January. I think that would be the earliest that we could even hope for that. Most likely it might very well push into February. But that was one reason, as far as making the recommendation of the 7 days after the governor states, you know, as of this date, you're in tier two, because of course you're not going to get to tier two unless these metrics, these statistics are steady, declining or steady, and meeting what the criteria is. But that extra 7 days would also give it, okay, now is it going to maintain it? So we're not doing what you're saying is opening and then closing. You know,
yeah.
So it just gives it an extra 7 days, mm-hmm. you know, to see if that's happening. But in this way, if in fact we did move to tier two, it's not waiting for the board meeting. It very well may be we could be in tier three until March. I don't know, but. If there was a great improvement, then it would not be waiting for the board meeting. I mean, that date and those 7 days might be going on before or during when the board meeting is in February.
Okay. Well, it sounds like everybody's in agreement with that. So I don't know. Do we have to make a motion for that, or is that just something that we've all...
Well, you can make a motion, you know, that the
we do have it on 6B.
Let's see.
tell the, is it the governor or the state of Illinois?
Well, it's the governor, you know, it's the state of Illinois, I guess, that to move that as long as Region 8 remains in Tier 3 mitigations, the library buildings remain closed to the public.
Okay, so we're going to accept a motion that according to the state of Illinois guidelines, as long as the region we are in, Region 8, stays in Tier, are we in Tier 2?
Three, we're in Tier
3. Sorry.
Tier 3.
Yeah, we will remain closed, and we'll open, if it happens before our next meeting, we'll open 7 days after the governor moves our region into Tier 2.
Right.
And if not, we'll just talk about it again next month. That was a motion. I'm sorry, Nancy. That was so convoluted. Do you want me to do it over?
I think I kind of got it. Basically, we're saying that as long as Region 8 is staying in Tier 3, the library buildings are going to remain closed to the public, but we will reopen 7 days after the state of Illinois moves us to Tier 2. Is that about right?
Yeah. Well done.
That was excellent.
I need a first and a
second. Yeah, we need a motion and a second.
I'll move. Who said that, please?
Tiffany.
Thank you.
I think Beth is seconding it, but I can't.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
And I just want to clarify, so if this hasn't happened by our next meeting, then do we want to keep COVID update on the agenda and just in case there's something else to talk about?
Yes, probably, yes, yeah. All right. Keep it on there and
okay.
Until phase five.
Okay. Well, any other comments or questions?
Just, it feels like if the numbers are heading in the right direction, I feel like that is worth acknowledging confirmation that we've contributed, hopefully, to doing the right thing. And if we can just keep it up a little while longer, hopefully mm-hmm. it will be over.
Yeah, that's all I want to do is keep the staff safe and not be part of the problem. So,
yeah.
Compromise. We're doing an amazing job of being a great library even with our doors locked. So, thank you, staff.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're ready for the roll call on that one.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Secours?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes.
New work on rules, but it's new to exercise.
Okay. Moving on, number 7, we have an action item, Extension of Families First Coronavirus Response Act, the FFCRA leave.
You received the narrative in your packet there, and I think it's pretty self-explanatory. If any of you have any questions on this, we are not required to do this, but we're doing this to help staff that may need it. And because the federal law took this through December 31st, and after that, it's only required for companies, organizations that are over 500 employees, and of course, we're under that. So we're not required to do this, but we feel it's the right thing to do, and it's not costing us any additional money. Our budget has been planned for staff working a full year, and so that this is helping them if they find themselves in this coronas.
So basically, it gives extra paid sick time.
Yeah, basically. Eva, are you out there someplace? Yeah, there's Eva.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I had my mouth full, so bear with me.
Right. Good morning.
evening snack. So the FFCRA consists of two portions. The paid sick leave portion, which allows for two weeks or 10 days of paid leave at 100% for anybody that finds themselves under medical care due to COVID-like symptoms and is seeking care, you know, for COVID. And the time is not taken out of their sick bank then. The second portion of FFCRA is the expanded family medical leave. So, and that allows for an employee to take up to 10 weeks of leave time in case their child school or daycare are closed due to COVID, for COVID reasons. For under that part of it, the employee receives 2/3 pay, which is also not taken out of their sick bank or vacation pay. So it allows employees to really not, you know, lose any of their other time off, and they can actually, you know, do, you know, recover, take care of themselves or help their children in case, you know, their school is closed and they need to help, you know, teach them virtually or sometimes the daycare center may be closed. And we have had that at the beginning, really, the daycare closing thing, but slowly the daycares have opened, so we really don't have anybody using that for the daycare portion of it. So.
Okay. Thank you, Eva.
Sure.
And this would be extending this leave through March 31st, 2021.
Let's hope that's long enough.
Yes.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, so I don't know if I said this motion. I will accept a motion to extend FFCRA leaves through March 31st, 2021.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion second. Any other comments? Okay, roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yep.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes.
All right, number eight. I'm just going to read the motion this time so I don't forget. I will accept a motion to approve the purchase of two Cisco Catalyst 9200 switches from Diopath in the amount of $14,988.54. And this sounds like something that we need, but I can't even begin to explain it. So I'll let Brian, do you want to explain it? Are you the person who knows about this?
Yes. Can we have a first and second before we do that?
Okay. I made the motion, so we have to. Okay.
Oh, second.
Was that Amanda? I'm sorry.
I got the first. Daddy. I did
that. Beth and Patty. I think it was Beth and Patty.
Okay. Got it. Zoom is so confusing. Okay, now we have the motion, the first, the second. Okay, now Brian.
Yeah, thank you. The switches that I'm requesting for purchase are upgraded switches. Our standard life cycle of switches is anywhere between 3 to 5 years, depending on the type of switch that it is, where it's located. Particularly with the camera upgrade, we had to use a lot of our newer switches for that technology to allow the throughput and such on the network so it wouldn't impede any of the other staff or any of the public once we have them back in the building. So these new switches allows us to prioritize traffic on the network. It allows us to have them under maintenance so we have next day response on them. And this will allow us to keep moving forward with what we have.
Okay, now I get it. We need to have our internet traffic moving smoothly, so.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
All right, any questions about our $14,000 switch?
No, just thanks for Brian, thanks for breaking it down so well and also for clarifying that you already had planned for it. I always have so much respect for that, how you anticipate the needs that are going to happen and have the money set aside ready to go. So it makes approving a motion like that pretty easy.
Thank you.
Me too. Yes.
Okay. Roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Krueger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. Alrighty, moving on to number 9. You know, no matter how many times I see this name, I always forget. How do we say it? Is it Ty or Tyge?
I say Tyge.
Tyge, okay.
Tyge Cressenor.
Okay, Tyge Cressenor. Okay, I will accept a motion to accept the Tyge Cressenor Audit Service Agreement for year ending June 30th, 2021. It's our auditor.
So move.
Second.
If you read through the pages, it's a cost not to exceed $16,850. Might be less, depends on their expenses and all, but not to exceed that figure.
Do you want that as part of the motion?
That's up to the board. If you feel that you want that as part of the motion.
Well, we have it in writing from them, right?
Yes, it is in writing, and your motion does say to accept the agreement.
Yeah.
So, and that is part of the agreement. So you really wouldn't have to.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that is below average for the cost of an audit, given my, I just approved one for the symphony, and that's less. So I think this is good.
Is there ever a time when the auditor people aren't working? I mean, it just seems like it's a constantly, you know, we're always working with the auditors, so.
Well, Sarah, you can, you know, you call them throughout the year, I believe, right?
Yes, I do. As far as the fee goes, can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. As far as the fee goes, the $16,850 is their fee. This year, for the first time, we incurred a fee from one of the financial institutions where we have to send a bank confirmation because they do it electronically. So it costs like $15 to do that. And we would pay Tyge Cressenor that on top of the $16,850. So I just want to mention that so you're not approving it as a limit of $16,850 because there could be a little bit above that depending on fees they get charged when they're trying to get our information from the bank, confirmations, et cetera. I do work with them throughout the year. If I ever have a question, I just call them and they're more than happy to answer. They've never charged us any extra fees for any questions I've asked. If we have gotten into a topic where I needed more information or I wanted them to research something, they have told me that there could be extra fees and then we would discuss that. But we've never incurred that with them. They've always been very helpful with all the questions I've had.
Okay. So better reason to leave that number out so that we're not worried about our $15 extra.
The agreement as presented. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Any other questions about the auditor agreement? Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Krueger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All righty. One more. Oops, sorry. Three more. So we usually go over a few different things in our personnel policy. Oh, this is personal policy. Is that supposed to say personnel policy?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay. So this is just the cleanup that we're doing this month. So I will take a motion to accept personnel policies 5.50 vacations, 6.05.2 bereavements, 9.05 separation from services updates as presented.
So move. All right. Give it to Tiffany in a second, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All righty.
So,
is Tiffany, no, she's not. She's taking a no.
I didn't say anything, and that was Amanda.
Was it Amanda?
Okay, sorry.
I said, but you can't give it to Tiffany. That's fine.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
We just need it for the minutes. Nancy, Amanda moved. Patty second.
Correct. All right.
Okay, just basically, I'll just go over the vacations and separation of service. We clarified something that was not as clear as it should be. And that is, this now states that when it is your last day of work, in the past, sometimes people, that would be their last day, but other times, they were still on the payroll while they got paid out for vacation. Now we're not. If your last date is on the 30th, it will be the 30th. If you have any remaining vacation or floating holiday, that will be paid out in the next paycheck. And so that's what that does. So the wording in there just clarifies exactly what we're doing. And Eva, is there anything else in those two that I've missed?
She must be eating again.
Maybe. Eva, are you around? I think pretty much that's it.
I'm just teasing Eva.
I don't see her on right now, sorry.
You don't see, okay, that's fine. Bereavement, we've loosened this up a little bit. As you can see, we had identified exactly what was immediate family and what constituted you could take bereavement leave or you couldn't. And I have changed this to say in the event of death of a family member or close friend. So, I mean, you could be very, very close to a third cousin twice removed,
mm-hmm.
closer to that person than you would be to a parent-in-law, I don't know. And yet that, you know, our bereavement leave would not allow for that. Or as we know, I'm sure some of you have friends that are close to you or more so than a sibling, mm-hmm. and that was left out of this. So just by adding that, and we're not going to define it. We will just, you know that our staff will know what is appropriate and to request that leave, which is 3 days, 3 work days off with pay. It goes for everyone, even those staff who do not have benefits. They will get 3 days, you know, prorated, you know, based on how many hours they work a week. So even if they don't get a paid vacation, they would be getting paid bereavement leave.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. I was actually thinking about that recently, looking at our policy. So thank you for thinking of that. Okay. Yes, we did have a motion. We were all fighting over it, I recall now.
No fight, only giving.
Okay. Any other questions or comments about this? It was pretty straightforward. Okay, roll call. Garcia? Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes.
All right, let's keep going here. Number 11, I will accept a motion to retain the closed minutes of the September 10th, 2019 and the February 11th, 2020 meetings as closed minutes.
And you did receive copies of those minutes, we review them every January and July. So that's why they're coming before you, and they'll come back to you in July, too. So
got it. We have a motion and a second? I only have a motion. I'm back. I need a second.
I'm not. I've done too many.
I second it.
Thank you, Tiffany. All right. Shouldn't be that hard. Any questions about this? John, you look like you have a question.
It's all just a mystery to me because it's from before my my day.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I was going to say, I was going to try to pull kind of a stunt during this next roll call and abstain from voting even, because it's, I just don't know anything about it. Is that cool?
You know, that's what we all thought in the old days, but in, I learned a couple years ago that just because you're not at a meeting does not mean that you have to abstain from minutes. That you are present at this meeting, and that's what is happening. So you can vote.
And you've read the minutes that we were given, so
there's
informed enough to vote.
Yes, unless you guys killed somebody at that meeting, and you know, as long as nobody said anything, maybe it wouldn't be in the minutes.
Yeah, well, nothing bad happened, I can assure you.
Well, then I would have seconded. Sorry for the.
Okay, well, you can still pull a stunt if you want, but I think we're ready for roll call.
Garcia.
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Koukouras?
Yes.
Krueger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All righty. Okay. Oh, we're all the way at other? Okay. Well, I have an other, but go ahead. Do you have one, Patty?
I just have a question. Do we still have the high school diploma program? Now that
we do, and we do, you know, we have to resurrect some of it. Sarah Sabo was checking with one of our vendors to see if they would support another scholarship. Rotary is supporting one scholarship, and so we've got to get this back on track here.
Okay. That's all I needed to know.
Right this moment, I can't tell you. I mean, I knew a few months ago, you know, if we still have anyone in the program or they have graduated.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's so hard because, you know, our capstone, of course, is the graduation, and we didn't have one in June. And then
that's
we
right.
know, okay, all those people have graduated and they move on, and who is left? And we didn't have one in June. So, but yes, it is, it's, you know, if there's any ideas that you have or suggestions of where we might go for funding these, just let me know. I mean, Denise and I will pursue them for that. Now, I think it's possible our foundation might support another one or two. They've done it in the past. We did not have a meeting in December. But we will be having a meeting in February. So I need to get back on that and see if it makes sense to recommend to them, which it very well could be, depending on how many are still left in the program.
Okay. John, just to let you know, this is a program that is supported by Cengage, the online learning company, so that persons who are members of the district and have a library card and are 21 years old or older, who for every reason did not graduate from high school and want to, can apply to this program. And it's not a GED. It is actually a number of courses that the state stipulates as being necessary for a high school diploma, a certain number of credits in social science and mathematics and English, etc. And I was working with Melissa on it when she was just before her retirement, and we've had some truly wonderful people come to us who I don't want to take up terrible things happened to these people and they didn't finish high school. It was not just that they were too cool for school, it was they had tragic circumstances, and now they want to come back and get the kind of diploma that will make them a viable candidate for college admission. And we've graduated, I think, 8 people to the, as best I remember, and we might have had more finished because, you know, since after Melissa retired, I didn't hear anymore. But anyway, it's a good program, and I'd hate, so it costs, what, $10,000 a person?
Yeah.
No.
Is it less than that?
No, 1,200 a person.
Oh!
About 1,300. I think it's
That's 1, a much 8. Better figure, yeah.
1,300 a person, yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought, yeah, we started out with $10,000,
right.
And that was
yes.
lots of, yeah, okay.
Yes.
So we need to find somebody who's got $1,200 who would be willing to, or lots of people who have
yes.
$1,200
it
who would
be
willing to support these scholarships. And it really is very emotional. It's always been very emotional.
It's a lot of tears and
yes, indeed.
And I should say, John, Rails, you know, the library system, pays for the platform. So all the libraries have to do is buy the scholarship per se, and we go through a vetting process. It's applications and then reviewing those, and then. Melissa, that Patty's referring to, we have someone else that's overseeing this now, and Patty, being a retired English professor, interview the students, because we certainly don't want them starting and then dropping out. It's like tuition in college. If you drop out after a certain period, you'll lose the money. And we want them to finish the program, and not lose a scholarship.
Cool. That sounds like a great program. I remember hearing about that platform when I was working at Addison Library.
Right.
But
yes. Addison has had some graduations. I know they have. I believe they've been in that involved in career online high school.
Awesome.
Okay.
We have a ceremony and everything for them. So
yeah, we get dressed up in academic regalia.
And Patty wears her regalia.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Well,
and several of them have gone on, I don't have the number for me, they have gone on to ECC. So it really has been a wonderful stepping stone for them and to have a much brighter career, that's for sure.
So we'll see if we can keep that going. We've got to find a nice donor for it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll put that out there in the universe. I actually have an other that I want. I remember... hearing maybe at one time when we were talking about ebook that here's my thing. You know, you see these people come into the library when we used to be open and they would, you know, go home with a stack of like 30 books, right? And who knows if they read all 30 of them, but they bring them back when they were due. So with ebooks though, I'm asking, is it a good idea to check out like, you know, 5 ebooks? And maybe you get to them all, or maybe you don't, because I'm wondering, does that cost the library money that we could be saving if people don't have that practice?
Well, you know, we do have some, you know, that are just in the collection, and we're part of CloudLink with several libraries, and so that has grown the size of our collection. We also have pay per use, and so, but it's not that much, you know, for the book. It's not that much. Now, with ebooks is when the due date comes, it's done. You know,
right.
It's checked back in. And so if you haven't finished the book, you're going to have to go back in and check another copy out, you know, if there's
right.
one available. So I don't know. Sarah Sable came on. Sarah, did you want to say something with this?
That looks like John Malkovich.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it my crazy picture?
It is your crazy picture.
Sorry. That's Christopher Walken. Carol's right. The only platform that would cost us if we found out you didn't read the book that you checked out is Hoopla, and it's about $1.99 per ebook use, so it's not that high. The rest of them we've already purchased, so it's no big deal.
Okay. All right. Because sometimes you know, the thing about ebooks is you're like, oh, I like this book, and you download it and then or upload it or whatever, and then you start it and you look and it's like, 28 hours of book, and I'm like, how am I? Because I am listening when I'm doing the dishes, but I don't do that many dishes. So anyway, I wanted to know if I should feel bad that sometimes I don't finish them, but thank you for addressing that. The other thing I was thinking is, since Carol, when you brought this up about the community book, I was thinking, I wonder if our library board members want to talk about any great books that they've read.
Well, absolutely. If there are, if you have any suggestions
You know, I don't have the link or the website right now. Just let me know. Let me know.
Okay.
You know, but we do want them in English and Spanish, of course. So either it's a Spanish author who has translated it into English, or it's an English author, American author, and the work has been translated into Spanish.
Okay.
And you said, like, uplifting, right? So I was
Well, yeah, look at this COVID thing. You know,
by Ayn Rand, the Goldfinch, maybe. That's a joke, Nancy. Don't put that in the minute.
You know, that was my criteria. I said, you know, we want something uplifting, and, you know, that you don't have to work at it, and it's like, you know, it's, you know, right now there is, Miriam, are you out there someplace? Miriam Lytle? There is a kind of a community read for the garden thing. Do you want to just quick mention that?
You're muted, Miriam.
Hi, yes, the Nature's Best Hope is a wonderful read. We have it available in print, and Wild Ones is our sponsor, as well as a number of partners, including the City of Elgin Sustainability Commission. We have a number of copies virtually, audiobook, as well as in print, and it starts, the first book discussions for the community read are, let's see, the first one is the end of January. I think it's January 23rd. But that is all about the importance of bringing our birds and bees and butterflies back by planting particular types of plants or trees. And so it's a nonfiction, but it's really a wonderful read. And this is through Wild Ones, which is native planting and gardening. So I highly recommend. We have a wonderful series of programs planned, and children's family programs in Spanish as well, Family Fiestas. It's been a great series running through at least the spring. Hopefully we'll be able to have some things in person by then.
Yeah. Or outside even.
Outside at RACO, we have, they're creating a coloring book of native species so children and families can participate in that. I hope you'll join us in that. It's called Start in Your Yard, and the website is startinyouryard.com. And the city has funded Wild Ones to put up that website.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Patty, Alex, who is overseeing on the
yes, I saw it.
The last grad finished in December here. And no students currently enrolled in the program. Okay.
I saw that, and thanks very much to Alex. I tried to answer, but couldn't in the Q&A function, but I answered him on the chat function.
You did answer in the chat. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I appreciate that answer very much. Thank you, Alex. Yeah. Is Alex a male person or a female person?
Male. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Alex.
One of our stellar librarians.
Yeah, we have no idea how many people are out there in Zoom land at our meeting tonight.
Yeah.
Well, there's 55 participants. We were up to 73. I think a lot of people were interested in the COVID update, I think.
Okay.
We should do that at the end to keep them watching.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, put it at the end for next month. Let's just see for other. All right, well, okay, I think, does anybody have another other, John?
I just wanted to report to the board that there's some sort of early childhood workforce town hall on vaccine distribution and federal relief funding on Friday that's being run by the state, and I submitted a comment using my fancy trustee title. Just advocating that library workers be considered as early childhood workers and, you know, hopefully maybe can get a vaccine a little earlier than the rest of them.
Excellent.
You know, thank you, John. I know Illinois Library Association is working on that as well to move I can't remember what... we were put in the, I don't have that handy. I think we're put in like the level three or something.
It's not at level three for library workers.
Yeah.
You got to be
And I think ILA was trying to get one B or one
B,
C, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Glad the librarians are on top of it.
Thank you for doing that, John.
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you.
That was great.
Advocating for them. All right. Any other others? Okay. Then let's see. I need a motion here. So number 13. I lost my pages here. Okay. I need a motion to go into executive session. Statutory Section 5 ILCS 120-2C1, Personnel Chief Executive Officer Evaluation.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All right. We all have to exit or leave this meeting, and we will all check into our executive session and hopefully see everybody in there.
Hopefully see you guys soon.
Yes. All righty. Bye-bye.
Garcia?
Here.
Hold on.
Mr. Gross is absent. Harkin?
Here.
Henderson?
Here.
Chorus?
Here.
Kruger?
Here.
Bednar?
Here. Okay, we all made it back. This actually went better than our practice session with doing this.
Yeah,
you did. Yay, everybody gets a gold star. Okay. we now can take our last action item of the night. Well, almost last one. So I would like to propose a motion that, or I will accept a motion from someone, that with gratitude and appreciation for her continued exceptional service, we would like to give Gail Borden Public Library CEO Carol Medill a 5% raise to her annual salary and a one-time pandemic year bonus of $1,000.
Oh my goodness. Thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Thank
so
you.
So moved.
That's most generous. Thank you.
Did you get that, Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you could, if you have it written, maybe you could send it to me anyway so I have it exactly. Okay, I will.
Yes. Appreciate it.
I did write that down.
Thank you.
I mean, you figured that out by now.
Well, I have loved working with this board. I think is my favorite board. I mean, we've had our interesting people throughout the years, and I just feel such great support from all of you. I really do. And that is why we can do what we do at this library, because of the support of the board and you giving us that freedom. But I think we've also proven ourselves, you know, that you trust us. You've entrusted the library services to this community to us. And that motivates me, motivates everyone. So thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. Congratulations. You've done a tremendous job.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's hope we're not giving out any pandemic bonuses next year.
Yeah.
Never again.
Yeah. All right. Well,
roll call.
Oh,
yes. Do we need to vote?
Yes.
Yes.
That was an action item. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes. Roll call, please, Nancy.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All right. And without further ado, I think we can just adjourn now, right?
Okay. Yeah, we could all raise our hands to adjourn.
Can we raise our hands, Nancy? No, we can't. Sorry. But I just want to, for the record, I want to say we didn't take any votes while we were in closed session. And
that's right.
We
were very good, Nancy.
Yeah.
Really.
Indeed. But, yeah. Okay, I will accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Motion and a second.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hurton?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, work, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. And congratulations, Carol.
Thank you, Teddy.
Thank you very much.
Take good care.